was it? Yes.
Well, sir. Call the public hearing to order and ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Buchanan.
Here.
Wise.
Present.
Ballinger.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here. Okay, we have a public hearing to consider the vacation of an alley. John, do you want to bring us up to speed on this, please?
Yes, I believe this is a portion of my land that's going to be vacated. Went out in the paper and to the neighboring property owners. The purpose of this public hearing is for said property owners to come to speak to the council. If they have any questions, comments, objections, requests, things of that nature. Because it is a public way as of it's currently not being utilized as such, as questionable as whether or not it had been at some point in time. I believe you can make argument yes or no on that respect. But here primarily for the purpose of vacating that road. So, and when a road is vacated, essentially what it boils down to is that adjacent neighboring property owners will receive that road. It will change their legal description of the respective property. The property owners can work with the ones between themselves, or if they have any questions or comments here as to who gets what in that regard. But typically the way the state statute works is that you split down the middle, and let's say if it was a property running east or west, you look at properties north and south of it, and they would get half of that. So now, keep in mind that when a road is vacated, if there's any utility easements that are going underneath that road, those do still remain because there might be utility lines that exist underneath there. So those don't go away. But yeah, so I believe this was came upon the request some either one or more people, and the city council as well. Is desiring to do this. So, again, this is a hearing for the public to speak to the council about this.
You can speak now?
Yeah.
You want me to come
yes.
up there?
Yeah. Come up here and state your name and address, please.
You can't ask address. The attorney general deemed that that's unconstitutional.
Okay.
You can request the address, but you don't have to give it. That's the thing.
I am Tom Reddington. I live in that area out there, a block and a half. That property was owned by my relatives, my mother and father-in-law, for many, many years. And I think if you go to all the city records and the county records, that's still a street. Even though you guys think you've closed it, you never have. And it's still on the county records as a street. That's never been just an inn. The people who live at the end of the alley can't get to their properties without going through there. And Tony Perez had to work on his sewer this year. And he had to go through there to get into the back of his property with a plumber. So you can't landlock it. You know, it's like you've got land and it's had an address and a street. And now you're going, if you close that, you basically landlock one of his properties. And I don't, how can you do that, John? How can you landlock a property that's had a house on it, has a house on it, and could have another house on it? Tell me how you can landlock that.
Is this one of the properties that's owned by your son?
Yes.
Okay, so isn't there not a plan to consolidate that with another parcel that he has, which would not then landlock it anymore? I thought there was a plan in place for that.
Say that again.
Consolidate. He owns multiple parcels.
Yes.
One next to it with the road, one there. As I understand it, he was planning on consolidating those parcels.
As of right now, those are two separate parcels.
Well, I mean,
and it's a land, and it had an address. And that was and I was on the council when we changed that. Did you jump on the lane?
So are you objecting on behalf of your son?
Yes, I'm objecting.
Okay.
And I think that it's pretty shady what's going on. because that was a street for years. That's always been a street.
Okay, well.
We maintained it and mowed it and took care of it.
Well, as I understand it, your son came in to City Hall and he was going to consolidate those parcels, change their arrangement from flowing north-south to east and west. And therefore, they would not be consolidated. So there's been a change.
That hasn't happened.
Saying he came in and requested that, and so now you're coming in here on behalf of
I'm just
saying something different.
You can't landlock you.
Okay. Well, statutorily, if you are going to, if someone objects, I do not know at that point if we can vacate it, but I also know that the city is under no legal obligations to build a road. So if someone's objecting, then we can't necessarily, it might be that we can't vacated at that point, but we also
I don't think you can move ahead with the tie, John.
I just say, okay.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else have any comments?
Okay. Well, I suppose.
No. You're the one that wanted this public hearing, and we're here.
Mr. Rennington,
yes, sir.
You requested this. And so therefore you're here upon your request. And instead you have brought your father up to object on your behalf. So
I'll come up and talk.
No.
I'll come up and talk. We can go back. Seth Rennington, I reside in Clinton. We can go back through the minutes of the meeting, counsel, attorney.
I spoke to you on the phone about that.
Hold on. I've got the floor. Okay? Would you please allow me to speak?
Go ahead.
So for over 3 years, ever since I bought this property, I've came to the city and said I'd like a street. I'd like to be able to use this. And I'm tired of mowing the city's property, the city street. For years, our family has mowed that. I have a map in my pocket that I got from here. I went over to the county. They show it as a street. The county's records show that it's Jemima Street, that when the ordinance was changed and made it Jemima Lane, the city never even notified them of the change. I told them before you requested that information that I will give that to them. The other thing is, during this process, the city would not do anything. Zero. I've been told I can't park in front of those houses. I can't access. If I was parked there, then I would be towed. Because it's not a street. Clearly, it is a street. So I said, hey, if you're not going to do anything, you're going to close it, then I will have to change the properties. The other direction, east and west, instead of running north and south. So then, here's the other problem. Because people don't look down the line of what it creates. So now those two addresses, those two pieces of property that I own, will be facing an alley. So is the city going to pave that alley? Are they going to name that alley? What address, if I change those properties, am I going to have now? If you go back and look in that neighborhood, Brown Street, which is south, and then you got Benton to the north, clear down by the welding shop is Leander. All those streets within the past 5 years have been paved. Go over on Jemima Lane that goes in front of Dolly's Machine Shop and around the city buildings, all that's been repaved. From Sherman Street to that dead end, which mimics Benton Street to the south of Brown Street, Jemima Lane, other than being renamed in the 90s, has never been abandoned, nor has it been maintained. So from Sherman Street to that alley heading east is terrible. It's been maintained either. So what we have here is we have the city, apparently, will take care of streets for everybody else around there, but if it's in my name, You don't want to give me access. And that's fine. So the option is close it, give it to you. So what's that avail at the end? Now I got to pay taxes on it. Are you guys going to waiver the taxes on those on that lot? Now I've got to pay taxes on it and I've got to maintain it. How many people live in this town that's sitting up here that are commissioners? Everybody has street access to their property. Everybody. All I'm asking is, I'm a taxpayer. Lifelong resident. What's the hang up?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. So this request, Mr. Buchanan indicated that we wanted to vacate the street. I informed him as to the process to set this hearing. I spoke to you over the phone.
You didn't you talk came, to me on the phone. You talked to me right here in this building.
I talked to the phone previously, months previously beforehand, from my office. And then you came in to City Hall. And I thought we had something worked out. And you said this took process that took several years, 3 years. Well, it takes 3 years because every time we ask you as to what you want to do, your position waivers from vacated to not vacated because you were trying to ascertain, this is my suspicion, as to what the city wanted to do, and you would take the opposite position. We've provided you a hearing from which you can come to complain, which ultimately I think you it's all you wanted to do. I don't think vacating the street mattered at all one iota to you. As far as we took the time to speak to you to try to ascertain as to what you wanted and what to do here. But apparently this was a waste of time.
No, it's not a waste of time. The question is the city going to maintain that street?
I would, I'm going to be talking here because I was never under the assumption that that was an actual street. I remember back when Forrest came back and built the house. He came to your grandpa, he built the house.
Forrest never left when he built that house. That house was built in 1970.
But it was built, and he came back and he needed a place, and they built the house up. And that was an access from that alley across your grandfather's property to access
that
alley.
That was always a street job.
Always a street job.
No. Only one at the time.
It went through there because it never went through that other cul-de-sac or to the other
addition.
It never went through.
It was never
a street through
there.
That was a field. And look at your own map. Let's have the person at the table have the floor, please.
Oh, thank you. Right here is a map that came from this building right here from the city. Okay? A map from the early 1900s. I'm sure you can get with Cheryl. Cheryl can give you the date of the plat. It states clearly that that's a road.
It was extended from that alley.
It was
through there.
No, it was not, John.
It was
now,
always
please,
a road.
Just let the people at the table.
You want me to approach you and show you this?
Yes, I would, please.
That's why governments have these kind of things, is for people that are elected to follow them.
Started my first coming off of staff, you wanted that vacated. You just like
you
John says,
you won't keep, pave it.
No one will pave it. But you just keep, like John said, you just keep flipping back and forth.
Because I can't get a straight answer out of anybody.
You got a straight answer when you said we're going to abandon it, but then you change your mind.
Why should I have to pay for it? Right here's Jemima. This is Jemima Lane right here. Right here. This right here is Sherman Street. This right here is the alley. Right there is Howery's old house. Right there. That right there is my grandfather's. That right there is Forrest. That's the garage. Those lots run this way currently, north and south. That right there is the access to that property. This right here shows from Sherman Street, right up here, Fred Zacker lives there. Zotos lived there. My singers live here. Right there. Martha Latham lives right here.
So is this the alley that runs north and south?
Yes. Sherman Street.
Yep. Coming up to Rivera.
Yes. Right there is the backside of Fairlawn. So my question is, it's clearly a street. If the city has any problems, they've got maps at the county. They can go over there and check them out. But to me, it's a hornswoggle because I've asked. Now, me as a resident, why should I have to mow the access in front of my home when everybody has a street in front of their home? Because the city failed to maintain it over the years. You guys are buying property, putting in sewers, water, streets, curb and gutters. I'm not asking for all that. I'm asking for a road in front of my property. I shouldn't have to.
When was that road? When was there pavement there, Seth? When was there pavement there? Because you put on Facebook yourself when this all started. It's been over 30-some years. You and your parents have been mowing that.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
When was there a road there?
Absolutely.
Because I've been told by somebody else there wasn't one ever been mowed.
Mrs. Latham, would you like to come up and address the council? Laura? Thank you.
They got a letter from Evelyn saying it was a road when she was a child, and she's
I gave it to the previous man.
She's 7 years older than me.
Hey, state your name, please.
Martha Latham.
Okay.
Now, when me and my husband bought that property in 1969, there was Jemima Street behind us and Jemima Street in front of us. And I know it was there in the 80s. My son left to go to the service, and it was still a road back then. And he's been in the service for 30-some years. So I know it was a road then. And I know, I'm sure in the 80s it was still a road. Because they told us, and when they did the 911, they said they did it because they got confused. Because anytime they wanted somebody to come to Jemima Street, I had Jemima Street in front of me and Jemima Street in back of me. And that's when they made it Jemima Lane. And it was always a road back there until, like I said, I know at least in the late 80s when my son went to the Army. I can't remember. I'm trying in my head to remember when Warner started mowing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we mowed, you know, this part over here, but Warner did most of it where it had been paved as a road. Now, whether the excess, I don't know how far over, but my son has always mowed that part, but Warner and his family, his family, after Warner died, they've always took care of that because the road wasn't being kept as a road from the alley up behind us. So as far as I remember, from 69, my son was born in the house. So I got when I from the time I had the house until at least the late 80s to 90, there was a road back there.
Was it gravel or was it paved?
It was paved. I'm pretty sure it was paved.
When I was a kid,
I remember, you know,
asphalt
comes back, huh?
Asphalt?
Was it asphalt paved?
I was very young, it was. I mean, as time went on.
I'm not sure when it, you know, like I said, I can't remember
you gotta ask for
after
else.
That. But okay. Other than that, so I know it was a road, you know, up until that time.
All right, thank you. Okay, anybody else have any comments? Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Clearly,
comments that's been said, it's clearly been a road. There again, the attorney says a wishy-washy. No. What it is I've asked, is the city going to pave that? And all along. But ultimately, a citizen should have access to their property. Now, if I couldn't have access, I've got to do something else. So the access has got to be the alley. If the city's going to close it because they're not going to do anything with it, that's where I was at. Nobody would believe me that was a road ever. And that was clearly stated in council. People's been around for a long time and we don't remember it. It's pretty easy. The old timers, or not old timers, but the older folks that live in that neighborhood haven't forgotten. When change happens, people forget easy. So ultimately, out of this meeting, the city needs to do something. I'm not asking for anything else that nobody else has. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The question for whether or not, is it a road? I'm not trying to marginalize your guys' statements about whether or not it was a road. We're here as to whether or not we're going to vacate the road. So obviously, if we're having a hearing to vacate the road, there's some sort of acknowledgement that it was at least something in the past. That's all we were doing here today. And to be honest, I thought we were doing it in accordance with the wishes of the people who did live there. If that's not the case, then the council can proceed as they so desire.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn the hearing.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Please call the roll.
Rice.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Meeting adjourned.
Okay.
Well, what do we got? Well, we got to go to the next meeting.
Yep.
7:07.
Did you just pass and vacate that?
No.
No, didn't do anything.
I misunderstood. I got hearing aids.
Yeah, didn't do a thing. We'll have to transfer this to Planning Commission and Steve Lobb, probably. Let them make a recommendation and come back to us all. Okay.
Start.
All right. Start the meeting. So.
And then do the pledge.
Okay. Please stand and do the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Cheryl, would you call the roll?
Ballinger.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Wise.
Present.
Edmonds.
Here. Okay. Do we have anybody that wants to speak to the council?
No. Nope.
Had nobody signed up?
Nope.
Okay. Okay. Need a motion for the approval of the minutes of the last meeting.
I'll make a motion. Second.
You second that?
Yes.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. Please call the roll.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Present. Payroll.
General Administration, $3,017.79. Economic Development, $2,320.31. Police, $2,845.90. Fire, $2,777.75. Street, $23,672.27. Parks, $10,772.71. Public Health and Safety, $3,023.90. Garbage, $54.13. Cemetery, $124.63. Water Operations, $45,116.03. Sewer Operations, $67.10. Motor Fuel Tax Fund, $318,150.18. Warner Hospital and Health Services Operating Account, $385,159.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion for approval of the bills and payroll.
Motion. I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Call the roll.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried. At least it wasn't as bad as the last one, where there were 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, report from the Department of Public Affairs. I don't have anything from that department. Report from the Department of Streets and Public Improvements.
Leak-up is continuing. It'll be for at least a couple more weeks, 2 or 3 weeks maybe. We're kind of running a little bit behind on getting brush picked up this week, but it will be getting picked up. They're busy putting up the Christmas lights. Close to being done, Steve? Or?
Yeah.
So and you can see all the new trees up there for the new festival. A lot of trees up there, a lot of getting decorated lights. They look nice.
Looks very nice.
So also, I've been noticing people burning things and stuff. So
apart from,
I got a whole bunch tonight, guys. Usually I say I don't have a whole lot, but tonight I do. I think to start out right off the bat, Greg Myroth and his partner is here from Symbiont. They're the ones working on the water plants and the lime silo and the different things out there. I wanted them to come up and just explain a little bit. So you know what's going on. They got a bid in for the first, the CO2 and the lime.
Hi, Greg.
And so I haven't seen him for a while. He's still looking the same. So I'm glad you're still staying young and good looking.
We'll be fast, too. Yeah. So
there you go.
Just give us a quick overview of where this came from and the ARPA money and the things like that.
Sure. Kind of as you guys know, Lloyd and Kyle have been dealing with the water plant. There's, it's Kenny, you and I were talking before this. Everything's at least 20 plus years old. We're getting that cycle. We need to start doing some upgrades and rehab, and this is sort of the first step to that. And the concept is, that the funding for this initial phase would be through the ARPA money that the city's received and kind of set aside to look at the upgrade of the plant. And so this first project, and Eric kind of summarized a bit, but the first project here was for the upgrade to the lime and the CO2 feed system. So we've got bids on that part of the project that Eric will talk about, summarize real quick. So I think the only real action we're asking for you guys tonight is to recommend award to this low bidder. Again, he'll summarize the bids here in a moment. And the other project that is very important for Lloyd and Kyle is there's a PLC upgrade, which is basically the computer that controls the plant. The guys have been kind of nursemaiding that along for quite a while. It's getting to the point where that is a kind of a mission critical thing. That project, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, is going out for bid next week, as long as everybody supports moving ahead with that. Bids will come in before Christmas on that, and then the plan is to get that constructed and operational as soon as possible. So that's kind of the overall view of it. Again, the intention is to fund this with ARPA money. First couple steps here, those two projects, and then there's still water main improvements and power. There's other things that come on the back end of that. But these two are kind of mission critical things that need to happen right away. So, Eric did the design on this upgrade that's going on that was out for bid right now, and you can kind of summarize the bid.
Yeah, the first part, so it was all mechanical. The PLC is the primary logic controller. So we had two mechanical projects. One was to replace some end of useful life lime feed components at the bottom of the silo at the plant, and then another feed panel that feeds the carbon dioxide into the plant. And so we put that bid package together, that design package, put that out to bid, and we received two bids on the project. The low bidder was Henson Robinson Company. They're out of Springfield. Their bid was $554,644. And then the second bidder was G.A. Rich out of Deer Creek, kind of close to Peoria. And their bid was $568,900. And so looking at those bids, reviewing the submittals, the bid bond, and everything that was required for the bidding documents, it's our recommendation to award bid the project to the low bidder of Henson Robinson Company in the amount of $554,644.
Yeah. And just one quick question, or one more quick comment for that. So the two bidders, these were preferred suppliers of this equipment. We went and looked at some different water plant systems. This was a system that Lloyd felt most comfortable with and most appropriate for the city system. So these two contractors were kind of hand selected as appropriate with the experience with the system that we're installing and the equipment that he needed at the time. They've done a lot. They've been around for years. I don't know that they've done any work before, but we've seen them. They're out of Peoria, very well-respected firm, and they've done a lot of work there. And the other guys are actually one of the main guys that the supplier recommended.
Yeah, worked with on the other projects. So
they have a lot of success. For sure. So.
Next part of that is you've got a new business, proceed with the bidding. I wanted to get consensus to go ahead and get that out instead of leaving it on file and waiting. We've never done that before, but we just want to make sure that everybody's up to the same speed, know what this is for. Mm-hmm. That ARPA money has to be used by a certain date, so we have to have everything in line to get that moving forward to make sure we meet that criteria.
And the ARPA money will cover both of these.
Clint has said that most of it there, this was a little higher, this first bid was a little higher, but we've been working on numbers like Lloyd and us, and we find a way to make it work, even if it's a little higher. I think we can find a way to do it when other people do some different things that we can come up with if we have to. And if nothing else, I'll come and beg you guys again. I have no problem with begging you for me. And I have no shame. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to keep the water running, I'm going to keep it softened, and I'm going to keep it the way it's supposed to be, one way or the other. And if it means begging you guys, I'll do it. So it should be, and we'll know better once we get this bid, get it back in, we'll know exactly then. But then they can be ready to start as soon as they can, start on the stuff that inside things can be really worked on, and the other can be done through spring break or whatever we need to.
And just kind of longer term, you know, you have with loans from the plant that I designed 20 plus years ago, those IPA loans, and I think also the tower, those will start coming, Tom, you know this is better than I do, those loans will be coming off the city's.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty quick now, and which is, you know, really good timing. So basically what you're coming up to is at the end of life of the plant, you're going to have to start reinvesting that money. This is sort of some stopgap stuff that was like, you know, Lloyd, how they need this stuff done now to keep the plant functioning so that you guys can provide safe, good water to your residents. And then, you know, once we get past this, then we're looking at getting into that loan program for the tower, the water main, and then some additional work that the guys have done at the plant. But that will kind of be the next cycle. So the idea is to try to get through these two projects with the ARPA money, and then longer term flow into that loan program again as these loans come off and you start to do the, you know, the new towers obviously going to be an expensive project, and that water main and then the other. He's got a lot of those automatic control valves at the plant, like we've talked about. Those are definitely past their useful life. I think there's only about half of them that are functioning at this point. So that'll be the next phase down the road for the project, the plan as well. We'll be seeing more of me, hopefully.
Well, the new water main and Quincy Street improvements are big.
Yes, and those are, the tower's not almost designed, but the water main improvements are basically 90% design and sitting on the shelf right now. Thought being we need to do the tower before we do the road.
Right.
We're going to tear up a road after doing, you know,
the
road and do the tower afterwards. So we're getting back in the loan program to with the intended use of using the loan as the funding for the new tower.
Sounds good.
It's good to see you, young man.
How about you?
We're not looking a year old, are we?
Oh, gee, I tell you.
So what do we need
and
to do?
And we just need a consensus to go ahead and get that.
Oh, sure.
Next week, like I said, and just follow through and go ahead.
Well, this is mandatory.
This low bid on file for, I guess, approval.
Yes, it's on file and it's fine.
We got to provide good water.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nice seeing you guys.
Good to see you guys again.
See ya.
Okay. One of the next things I have on the agenda, we've been looking and we're trying to figure out how we can make the city more available to the public. Taylor's been working with a couple of companies. Ran into one in Chicago about getting a website upgraded and being able to have people that. Cell phones is day and age now, everybody gets on the cell phone. A lot of people don't have a computer or, you know, the books that they can look up, tablets.
Delicious.
So we're looking at having a new program set up that's going to be more conducive. You can get right on your phone, the app, you can get all the updates. If there's a water main break, we can be notified. We can take and show what the city has in available sites for building. We can show what Clinton has to offer in a little more format that is going to show more of what Clinton really is. And it's easier to use, something simpler, in my estimation. Technology is not my thing, guys. I don't profess to.
We've heard that
before. Time just turning the computer on. But if we can get something like that, we've got people going to give us a program here and show us a presentation that they can help us with, I think it'd be good to be at least looking at it and seeing what can be done in the future. So I think there's a young lady here that's going to give a presentation to us on the first one.
Yes.
And then a little later, we have a company from Chicago that's going to give us a second one. So
yes. So this is Allie. Allie is with a company called Aptigy. So I think, Allie, I think I did it right. We were able to share your screen. I don't know if it popped up, but I think it allowed you to. So.
Yeah, it should. Looks like it will let me. Yes,
okay. I'll turn the floor over to you.
Perfect. Hi, everyone. Like you said, my name's Allie. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Really excited to kind of talk to you about the communication solutions that we offer. A little bit about Aptigy. We are based out of Little Rock, Arkansas. We actually got our start about 9 years ago working primarily in the education sector. We work with about 4,000 school districts across the country. We actually work with the Clinton School District there. We've been with them for a bit. And over the years, we started having a lot of crossover conversations with city officials as well. Started learning that the communication struggles were really similar. So about a year and a half ago, we officially launched into working with cities. I believe Pittsfield, Illinois was one of our first cities to work with there in Illinois. And whenever we think about our communication tools, we always think about how those can be used to really move the city forward. How can we help you grow? How can we help you thrive? We know that accessibility to information is a really huge deal these days. People have a much higher demand for how quickly and how easily they want to get information from their city officials. And so what we really focus on is creating a really great user experience, creating very accessible tools for your citizens, but on the flip side of the coin, also making it really easy for you guys to get information out to the citizens. Now we know that things have really changed in the way in which people get information. For a long time, it was radio, newspapers, then everything shifted online. It was enough to have a website. Nowadays, we know that people are not even going to websites the way in which they used to. A lot of information is accessed right here these days. So this is why a lot of cities have had to start relying on social media in order to get the word out there. But social media comes with some downfalls. For one thing, you are fighting for everyone's attention on social media. I don't know how many times I try to get on Facebook to look something up, maybe a particular event. I immediately forget what I was on there for because there's so much information that you're battling against. So one of the things that a lot of cities are starting to utilize these days is apps. Now, with these apps, we have seen some kind of missteps that have occurred in the industry. There's 1,000 different providers out there that can go and build an app. But oftentimes, you'll get something that functions a little bit like this. This is an example of a city that we don't work with. This is just to show you what the industry standard has been. You think about the average citizen just wanting to know, maybe they're curious when that Christmas tree lighting ceremony is happening. We come in here to the calendar, and this is what I get. Not the greatest experience here. That app just kicked me right out to the website. If you think about it, it's a lot easier to use Facebook on an app rather than going to Facebook.com on your phone. Probably a lot easier to check your banking through an app rather than trying to go to the bank's online website on your phone. People just have higher expectations for apps these days. So this is where we take a very different approach. Let's see, here's a small city in Missouri, really similar in size to Clinton. Right here on my homepage, I can immediately scroll these events that are happening in town. Even if I click further into these events, I'm not redirected. Everything stays native inside the app. Because it's all built into the app, there's a lot more functionality here. With this art gallery opening, I can very easily share that out with friends of mine in the community. I can add it to my own calendar. I can even get directions to where that event's being held. Totally different experience, right? Our goal is to keep everything easily accessible with as few clicks as possible. We know that statistics show we have 15 seconds and 3 clicks to get information to someone, otherwise we lose their attention. So right here, someone can open up their phone, and within a couple clicks, they're able to call or email the mayor's office. They're able to see the councilman and know the best ways to reach them. Even things like city documents are very easily accessible in here. I can come in and I can see those council agendas without ever being booted out to a website. Our huge focus here, you know, we're not trying to sell you a calendar or sell you a staff directory. What we're focused on is building a place that people come back to. With a great user experience, they're more likely to continue using this app. And that's where we have the opportunity to then start getting announcements out to them. Here on the home page is what we call the live feed. This feed, this is the place to start sharing out all the everyday information that's happening in town. So whether it's that need to know information or just showcasing the good things that are going on. The little everyday wins about around your community. Being able to really start building a sense of identity. This is obviously designed to look a lot different. Well, people like to consume their information this way. We're tapping into that scrolling addiction. But the great thing is that we're not fighting for people's attention here. You're not posting something just to have it get lost in all the ads and the celebrity gossip and everything that's out there on social media. You'll also notice that there's no comment section on this. We want this to be a place where you have more control over that narrative so that you can share information about Christmas events that are happening in town without someone commenting on that, you know, post about Christmas saying that their trash wasn't picked up this morning. You can, of course, though, have forms built out where citizens can still fill out that form, submit complaints, submit requests. It provides a much more controlled atmosphere here. So, really designing that to be that central hub for people to go to. But alongside that, we also recognize that it needs to be easy for you guys to update. We know that you're already having to update your social media, you're already having to update a website, and we don't want to add more work to the city staff's plate. So that's where we designed a program called ThrillShare. This is ThrillShare. This is the way in which we update that live feed. So I can send out a message. I can send a message out to the live feed, out there to the app. I can do a notification through the app. Maybe it's something like a water main break or a road closure. I can also do email alerts out to citizens who have signed up for emails through here. At the same time I'm updating that app, I can also update Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those social media channels, plus my app, plus my website, which I'll show you in a moment, are all being updated on a single page with a single click of the publish button. Another great thing too is that you can have a lot of different users here. There's no limit to the amount of staff members who can have access in DrillShare. They can log in and they can create that content themselves. Your Parks and Rec director, your police chief, they can all type up these messages, post photos. It doesn't have to all be funneled through one person. But you don't have to give everyone free rein. You can set those users up to where they have to come to a waiting for approval section. So you're able to approve or decline those posts or even edit them before they go out. Spreading that workload out, but maintaining the oversight. The final piece of all this is that when you come on board with Apogee, we're also going to build out and host your website. So you get a clean, modern design. One of the great things with these websites is that that live feed, which goes out to the app, goes out to your Facebook, it's also coming right here to the homepage of your website. So now someone who's looking up the city for the first time, they're able to start seeing that really dynamic information instead of just seeing a lot of static content. One site that's in progress, this one hasn't officially launched, but it's one of my favorites so far. So you have your live feed. I love that they did these sections about living, visiting, doing business. We handle the entire build out of this website. We handle moving all the content over from your old website to the new one. We're doing all that heavy lifting for you. We also train every single staff member in how to use DrillShare. These websites are controlled right here in DrillShare. So this is your full content management system for the website. Whether you're updating staff directories or dropping in those city documents, this truly is that one-stop platform where you can go to. The school's website pull up as well for you guys. One final piece of it really quick. We know that right here is where people are spending most of their time. It's no different for city staff. So DrillShare is also a mobile app. So that now, no matter where you're at, and maybe, you know, your public works director is standing over that water main break, wants to snap a photo, alert people to what's going on, all he has to do is log into DrillShare right here on his phone and be able to create that post that then goes out across all those different platforms. So he can create that post. Or if someone else has posted and you're one of the moderators, you just open up your phone to approve or decline that. You don't have to be in the office at your computer in order to get all of those daily updates out to your citizens. The onboarding period is about 60 to 90 days. We'll have everything up and running for you guys. Like I mentioned already, we trained every single staff member who would be using the tools. There's no limit to the training at all. Anytime someone new joins the staff, we'll jump into a Zoom, train them as well. And you also get, whenever you come on board with us, once everything goes live, we also provide you with a marketing package with materials, graphics, strategies to start getting the word out to your citizens about the new app. Wow. It typically goes over really well in communities where we already work with the school district because a lot of your families are already used to getting the information in that way. That's a general overview of all the tools. I'm happy to take any questions or show you guys anything else if you'd like.
I don't know if you guys got any questions at all. It was a very high-level overview, and I think Allie did a great job explaining what they have to offer.
Not sure.
Do you guys have any questions?
Very thorough.
Okay.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Allie, thank you very much. And we got one more short presentation. This is another company that we have been working with, and Sal actually met John up in Chicago when we were at the Illinois Municipal League conference. And Sal was with a company called GovStack, and similar to Allie, they have a lot of benefits to their company as well. So we thought it would be a good idea for them to hop on and give us a quick overview similar to what Allie provided for us. So Sal, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Taylor. Great to be with you folks tonight, John and council members for Clinton. Thank you for your time. Again, my name is Sal Urbano. I have one of my colleagues here, Matt Nelson, who is also at the conference in Chicago. We were fortunate enough to meet both Taylor and John at the conference. So we're just going to provide a brief overview for you on how we deliver value for communities. And feel free to jump in with questions at any time, right? Let's make this interactive. I'm just going to share my screen so that we can begin. Can you see the PowerPoint there, Taylor?
Yes, you're good. Yep.
Terrific. Okay. So I've been fortunate enough to work for local government in the last 10 years and have worked with a little over 200 communities, many just like yours in Clinton. We've spent some time over this process getting to know each other, where we've had calls with both John and Taylor to understand some of your goals for the website. And some of the things that were noted was that your current website information is a little hard to find. There's too many categories at the top, and sometimes it can be confusing for your residents. Pictures are blurry. It's kind of a static site, so it looks the same all the time. There are some ADA errors on the website, which we can correct, and that creates some risk for the community in terms of meeting the federal guidelines for accessibility for all your residents. But most importantly, I think what both John and Taylor echoed is that and that your website is not really effectively telling your story and making highlighting all of the great things that are going on in Clinton. In terms of what could your new website look like. You know, what we do is leverage all our best practices, and we have about 20 years of experience working with local government. So best practices in layout and navigation and ease of use to make sure that your new website is not only unique in capturing what is special about Clinton, but it does so in a way that makes information really readily available for your residents and is also easy for your staff, right? What we want to do is put together something that's going to drive civic pride for your town and also more revenue for Clinton, which we think is really equally as important for the city. So our goal is, again, to create a dynamic online communications platform. Understand you're looking at two very capable firms. We can provide some of the same communication capabilities that I saw in sort of the tail end of the previous presentation through our CMS, where you can post and manage all that and post to multiple social media sites, et cetera. Focused on when we talked to John and Taylor was that, you know, they both mentioned that you have a lot of visitors to Clinton for the lake every year, and that they didn't think the town was capitalizing on that. And we have quite a bit of experience in both tourism and economic development. So where we see that we can, you know, provide some value for the city is that we've typically seen 10 to 20% increase in revenue by having just a tourism landing page associated with your new website. It will also drive a higher staying power for your local business. And since the town is located kind of right in the middle of Bloomington, Champaign, Decatur, and Springfield and has access to all these people, if we make them aware of some of the great things that you have available, and I'll show you some examples of tourism designs that we have done to just give you a sense of what your tourism landing page could look like if you were to work with us. And why don't we just do that before we get into the, you know, YGH digital. I know Taylor mentioned that there were some elements of the Pontiac website that you liked, and we can certainly capitalize and capture some of those elements and kind of infuse what is unique about Clinton as well. But on the tourism side, we have done tourism websites for a number of towns. And this is one that is just called Port Hope. Now, you could have video, you could have pictures rotating. You don't necessarily have to have either, but what they've done is make their website engaging. So it looks like, you know, even if you don't know this town, you want to get to know it a little bit, right? It looks attractive, right? As you come down, you can see quickly what's going on over the next few days in Port Hope, right? There's some mapping to tell you where you can find different areas that you might want to actually go and visit, right? There's a section on downtown Port Hope, just like you could have a section on downtown Clinton. We also provide some itinerary ideas. So if somebody's coming to visit the town and they're a foodie, they can look quickly and see, here's a couple of places you might want to go and visit, right? If you were into culture, likewise, you know, into the outdoors or wellness, and we can tailor some ideas to actually drive more traffic to your business and also to your events, right? We do have some calls to action to remind people about upcoming events that are taking place in this town. And again, it's just something that can be added and integrated with your website to work effectively to make that tourism dollar grow for Clinton and capitalize on those visitors that you have coming into your city every year. We've done another one for a town that, you know, their theme is Love Orangeville, and they just have what they call some genuine small town charm. And as you can see and do things. You can look and eat and drink if you want to stay. You can learn about some, you know, places where you can stay and upcoming events. And then as you scroll down, they have a video to kind of highlight things that are going on, and they update it periodically. So they have a little fall video here. And then it's Let's Get Started, and has ideas for arts and culture, for eating and drinking, for outdoors and recreation. It talks about what's happening and gives you some upcoming events that you can spotlight that would work for Clinton and bring people into your area. It talks about taking a tour, and it has some mapping, et cetera. And then it has some more calls to action with more upcoming events that they're highlighting. So we think that the combination of updating your website by also including our communication capabilities and including something that would focus on tourism would help Clinton drive more revenue for the city and make sure that you capitalize those visitors that are coming into the area, all right? And we can even help you build whatever key performance indicators you want to use to track that so that we can actually demonstrate how over time we're helping you drive more revenue for the city, all right? So why GHD Digital? We deliver really for local government, and we don't focus primarily on school boards. School boards are great. We just stick to our knitting, which is local government, tourism, and economic development. Right, we have a track record of delivering great online user experiences. And if you work with us, you know, you can leverage our tourism expertise to really make Clinton kind of grow and capitalize on the visitors that you have coming into your city. Just a little background on us. Our company is 95 years old, so we're very stable. We're a little over $2 billion in revenue. Matt and I are in GHD Digital, which has a 20-year track record of working with local government. And then we have a little over 600 clients, but here is the thing that catches a lot of people's attention. 200 of our clients have won awards for their website. So there's nobody that I am aware of in the space, and I've been in the space for 10 years and have competed with all the usual suspects, that has a third of their clients winning awards for their website. No one can guarantee you that you will win an award if you work with us. And if anybody said that to you, you should run from them with your hair on fire. But I will tell you, we have a track record of delivering on websites. And it has to do with our approach and the way we go about handling that new website development for you and your team in Clinton. We also have an office in Rosemont. We employ people in Illinois. We have projects going on. We just did some, we do quite a bit of consulting in the area of environment and water. So we actually did some work on the new terminal of the O'Hare Airport. And we have a number of other environmental studies going on for Illinois Central Railroad and the cement company in Illinois. Among our recent wins, we have two clients in Illinois that are going to go live with their new websites very shortly, Mount Vernon, Illinois, and the village of Minooka. We'd be happy to provide the names to Taylor and your team so that you can speak with them. We actually have a video from Mount Vernon with the city manager speaking of how much the project has helped their team and how excited they are for their new website. I will share that it's a 1-minute video. It's kind of hard to run it in a Zoom meeting. So what I will do is send it to Taylor and he can share it with you guys. And if you have any questions about how we can, you know, deliver value for the city of Clinton, we're happy to address them. So at this point, I hope this was helpful for you to give you a brief overview of how we approach working with a city such as yours. And, you know, if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to address them.
You got any questions for Sal?
We looked at the last one and they had an app that you could use your phones, and that's what people are going to now. Do you have that same capability where we can have, where we can get on the phone just where our guys can show what's going on, notify the public, and then notification if we have a water leak and have a boil order, things like that? Can you do that same capability?
We are in the process of developing an app, and primarily because of questions like that that you just raised, right? That certainly apps have an audience, right? And so we're in the process of developing that. Now, our websites are all mobile responsive, so they really work well on all devices. You can run an alert on the top of your website and also push out an alert to all your social media channels through our content management system. But yes, we are in the process of developing an app so we could mirror the, you know, the exciting piece that you saw on the other presentation, and I think where we can then hopefully deliver more value to the tourism side.
Okay.
What we should also mention is that we can run alerts in the same fashion, but also when previewing what your content is going to look like, you get to look at it from an iPad, a laptop, a desktop, and also a mobile phone. So essentially the app becomes what you would look at from a mobile browser.
Okay.
And that's built into your content management system. So for example, if Taylor was making a change to the website and he just wanted to see, let me see how the layout's going to look on a tablet and a smartphone, he could quickly look and see that before he goes live with his change. So it makes it easy for staff to just double check. Is anything not laying out right? Is the picture cutting off? And the CMS will automatically do that for you anyway, but it gives your staff the ability to quickly see how your website's going to look on multiple different devices. I'm not aware of any other vendors that are doing that currently.
We also have data that backs up the fact that most residents prefer to engage from just going through their Chrome browser or Safari, opposed to actually physically downloading an application. So we make sure that it's appropriately fixed to a mobile device.
That gives us a lot of information. I greatly appreciate you guys coming this evening and letting us hear all this, because that gives us a lot of things to talk about now. And I appreciate all your time and effort.
And if you have any other follow-up questions, feel free to reach out to Matt or myself. And Taylor knows how to get through to us. Taylor, I'll send you the video from Mary Ellen so you can share that with the council. And folks, thank you for your time tonight. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We are really excited to work with you. So the last thought I'll leave you with is, you know, if you remember back to when we were young and we were all kids at one point, right? Perhaps you had a parent or a teacher or a mentor who said to you, if you're going to do something, let's really do it well, right? We take that same approach with your website. If you're going to have a new website in Clinton, we want to make sure that we go the extra mile for you and that we make it great. So that's the last thought that I'll leave with you. You guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we appreciate your time to speak with you for a few minutes tonight.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Good holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Sal.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
And I will mention very quickly, so we have those two that discussed tonight. Then our current provider is in Bloomington, Illinois, and I've been working with them on what updates might look like with some of the software that they have as well. It's a little bit different than what those other two provide, but it is still another option I think we should definitely consider. So I think it was good just to hear. I know a lot of that was, again, very high-level stuff and things that I would have to worry about on the back end were necessarily you guys wouldn't need to worry about. But I think both options are very, very good. Each one of them has a lot of pros to it. So, we'll see what happens in the future. But I want to at least get that on your guys' radar. And I'm glad they were able to present with us tonight. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Taylor.
And now proceed with some more.
How about that?
Last Tuesday, we had the Planning Commission meeting, and Taylor and I went to it and got to talk about Airbnbs and the, what is it, RBOs?
VRBO.
Yeah, there you go. Any short term, we had a very good meeting. I think there was a lot of information that was talked about because we beat that since like January and needed to get some answers. We had two couples were there. One of them lives out of state, but they have a house here in Clinton. They were very informative. They have a manager that kind of looks after it. They have a cleaning staff that comes in and cleans it after every person that rents it. They've had no problem. I did not realize how far Airbnb can vet the people that are going to rent it. They can take and check background. They can do the collecting of money. They can do everything if that's how far you want to go with it. But you can also do it on your own. You can be the person that keeps all the records. You take care of it. You make sure you have someone that looks after the property, comes in and checks it after the fact. With a lot of the things we discussed about being in Chicago with looking at the city of Aurora's ordinances, we can really make that where we protect the city's interest and the people themselves. We're actually looking after their interest and making sure they're not going to get stuck with a lot of damage and things that could happen. It's so much easier for the police department to be called and put those people on the street if they're not meeting the obligations. It's not like a long-term lease where they can stay there forever and go to court and fight back and forth. It's just like a hotel or motel. If they're acting up and doing things wrong, they get evicted. They get taken out. That people don't want their places tore up. Communication was the best part that they said you had. Communicate with your neighbors, the people around you. Let them know what's going on. They help look after the property. They help look after the things that's going on. They'll let you know if something's bad. If something is not right, they will let you know. You can set the amount of people that's in there. You can do just about anything you really need to protect the interest of both sides. So Dana and the commission had some good questions. They got to hear a lot of good information. They're going to be coming back in a month or so and have some things that they're looking into. They had some good things to look up and look after. We met some people that very knowledgeable. We had one of these done a lot of work with zoning and making sure that things were followed through with. She gave us our information that we can talk to her anytime we need to. Very, very forthright and just honest, good group. And it was just a good, honest discussion. So that will be coming forward so we can get moving forward if people do want to do Airbnbs and the VROBs and the short term and all the other Bs and As. I don't know. But anyway. It's going forward. It's being looked at and it's doing well. Okay, I have one more. As you know, we've been working with the sanitary district. There is going to be an increase in the minimum of the monthly bill. They are working on a large project out there. Anybody's been going south of Clinton have been seeing them working for the last 6 months on revamping. And they're like us. They go out and get a low interest loan. It has to be paid back in a legitimate time, 20 years, whatever the loan is. And they did go and get forgiveness. They did the same as we did. They get an interest loan. They get like $4 million forgiveness, which is a great deal for them, but they still have to pay this money back. We've been waiting on them to get their ordinance in place. They did get that done in their meeting 1st of October. November. 1st of November. They will be putting that on file and putting in the paper the 24th. It will go on to our bill that we collect for them in December. That way everything has been through, everything's done. We have the letters from them. We have the information that tells you why. But we are going to put on our website, and this is the letter. You guys all got a copy. I'm going to read it now. It's regarding the sanitary district rate increase. The City of Clinton Water customers. This month, the sanitary district assessed a flat fee increase of $12.50 per month to all sanitary district customers. Right now, the sanitary district charges 0.0286 per cubic foot with a minimum of 100 cubic feet. With the increase, their maximum portion of the water bill will go from $2.86 to $15.86, the minimum portion of their bill alone. Mm-hmm. Nothing else changes with the water department, but just their minimum bill. Residents will see this increase in the December 28, 2023 bill. Sanitary district is a separate entity from the city. Therefore, if you have any questions or concerns, please contact the board member listed below. And this is going to go out on our website. It's going to go out to Facebook. It's going to go out to Clinton Daily, whatever. But we're going to try to make sure everyone knows and understands that this is where it's coming from. And it's just a fact of life that when you make these changes, you've got to take and pay it back. So just trying to make sure everybody's aware of this. And it's made very public and very forthright. And like I say, we're going to make sure everything is done and everything's been taken care of. And then that way we'll put it on December bill. So now I think that's all I have.
How about that? Department of Public Health and Safety.
I think if everybody kind of watched what happened last night, we had a huge fire out south of Clinton. Stephen, Blake was the first truck out there. It was a bad deal. We had a local resident that got burned really bad, and just asking everybody to pray for him because he's in pretty rough shape. So that being said, Mike, Ben, you got anything?
I do not. Thank you.
We won't be like Johnny. I'm done.
Boy, report for the Department of Public Health, or no, Accounts and Finances. I don't have anything to report. So now we go to unfinished business. Okay.
Motion to approve the donation for Clinton Festival of Trees on the Square in the amount of $2,000.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Now let's just, that is this Saturday night, right?
Yes.
On the square.
This, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And the Christmas?
5:30.
And then the Christmas parade is?
December 2nd.
December 2nd. Okay.
December 2nd. Yeah. Okay. Motion to approve the purchase and installation of a server rack for City Hall from Jano Technologies in the amount of $3,170.78.
Make that motion.
I'll second it. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Please call roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Okay, then we're going to vote on.
Okay, go ahead.
Motion to approve to proceed with bidding for the PLC computer to go out for bid at the water plant.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion or any more discussion? Please call the roll.
Wise?
Yes.
Yeah. Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Now, new business.
On file, we have the annual levy, and on file, bids for lime and CO2 systems improvements, the water plant, Hinson Robinson Company, $554,644, and G.A. Rich and Sons, Inc., $568,900.
Okay. We have a public hearing right before our next meeting, don't we?
For the levy.
Mm-hmm. For the levy at 6:45.
Yep.
Any other business?
No.
Nope. Nothing on the agenda. No closed session.
No.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd make that motion.
Mm-hmm. Seconded. Call the roll.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Meeting adjourned. Mm-hmm. About to zoom off his neck.
Uh-oh.
I do.